Well, we thank you once again for this day that we gathered together. Thank you, Lord, that even as we enter the last month of this year, as we take stock, as we ruminate over what you have been saying, over what you have been doing, we just pray, Father, that there will be a conviction in our hearts and our lives to where we stand with you, to where we are with you in relation to our life, with our families, and with one another even as a church. So Lord, we know that this has been an unprecedented year. We know that this year has been a challenging one for almost the whole world, for what is happening, for the pandemic, for everything else that is linked and is connected to that incident. Lord, we just pray that amidst all of that, amidst all of the happenings, amidst all of the confusion and the chaos, that we as your church, Father, will take stock, that we as your church, Lord, will be able to sift through the noise and be able to hear your voice speaking to us. What is it that you are wanting us to bear? What is it that you're wanting us, Lord, to ruminate on and to struggle with, Father? That is the most important thing. That should be the utmost in all of our thoughts and all of our hearts. That is, what is it that you are after? What is it that you are saying? What is it that you are speaking? And Lord, I do not mean that in just general terms, but even specifically, Lord, in detail, in specificity. What are you saying to us? What are you saying to each and every one of us as individuals and even as a church, as a family? So Lord, convict our hearts this day. As we enter into this last month, as we close the year, Lord, cause us to ruminate, cause us, Father, to muse, cause us, Lord, to think, cause us to intuit and to, Lord, meditate on these things that you have spoken to us. Because, Lord, even as we enter the new year, Lord, we don't want things to be as normal. We don't want things to be as per usual or according to the status quo, as they say. Lord, even if the pandemic ends, if our lives have not taken in, if we have not obeyed and not listened to your voice, then what is the point of all of this? What is the point, Lord, of being a church if we are not in accordance to your plan and your purpose? So God, as we enter into this last month, Father, cause us to ruminate, cause us, Lord, to know, cause us to seek your heart, cause us to enter into your cause with thanksgiving in our hearts, and help us, Father, to see what is it that you are after. Give us your word this day as we come before you, as we seek your face. Small though we are in number, Lord, we know that what you are doing in our lives is not small at all, that what you are saying is not small at all. And we know, Lord, that we are not alone in this, that you have your 7,000 that will not bend your knees to the gods of Baal all across the nations. Lord, that, Lord, there are those, Father, who are truly and sincerely and, Lord, aggressively seeking your face. And we pray that you will go to them, that you will speak to them as you will speak to us even this day. So cause us, Father, to seek your face even more as we close this year. We thank you once again for this gathering. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters here and also in Singapore. Continue to pray that you will speak to all of us and that you will continue to strengthen the bonds in which you have given to us as brothers and sisters in this church. Lord, cause there to be such a relational reality, Lord, that will grow and blossom amongst us this day, and cause us, Father, to be convicted of the things that we have not practiced, of the things that we have not applied, of the things that we have not given to in our lives. Lord, if there is any disobedience, if there's anything that is on our side that is a shortcoming and that we have not apply, that we have not given ourselves to, convict us of that, even as we close this year, convict us of it in the coming new year, so that, Father, we will take stock, so that we will know, Lord, that this is what you're saying, that this is what you're after, that this is what your light is shining, its light, this is what your light is shining upon in our lives, because that's what the kingdom does, that's what the life of Jesus does in all of us. It convicts us, it brings repair, it brings healing to parts of our lives, but not without confrontation, not without judgment. So help us to see these things in godly perspective. Help us, Lord, to have our eyes and our hearts open to what you are saying, to what you are doing in our midst this day. So we commit all of us, I commit all of us into your hands as a fellowship, as a church. And we ask you this day to speak to us and to give us such a word. Thank you, Lord, for our time together once again. Be amongst us, be in our midst. Even though it's an online session, Lord, we pray that you come and you will speak. So I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So,
morning. Hi. Good morning.
Morning, Stanley. Stanley, is there supposed to be a guest with us today from your part, from your end?
Okay, there's a changes. Actually, they were joining us next week because what happened is her sister my fiance Louis, her sister actually worked in a hospital. So what happened? One of the nurse being contracted with COVID. So she, next person close to that nurse happens to have to quarantine herself. So now the whole family over outside in Batu Pahat have to quarantine themselves, like including herself also. But her wife actually not so serious, but she's been swab test. Sister went to swab test. Basically all clear, but because of the sister is a doctor, so she need to go to second time and third time to ensure before she can go out to other places. So she's not trying not to expose, but she's running errand for the sister, you know, buying breakfast. She basically quarantined in the hospital, quarantined in the hotel. But she kind of an errand girl buying stuff, you know, for the whole week for 14 days. Kind of take care of her. So just call me only. Just now she just called me. So just keep her in prayer. Okay. Hopefully the other part of my future in law is all fine and okay.
Okay. All right, we'll do, Stanley. We'll keep her in prayer and her family as well. So for the rest of you who didn't hear that, Stanley is officially engaged to be married. So I want to officially congratulate you, brother, for that. Yeah,
congratulations, Stanley.
Thanks.
Yes. When is the big day, by the way, Stanley?
The projected date, it's actually next year, May, 1st of May, the Labor Day. So okay. everyone is not working this. So it's a day that kind of like try to make everyone to be available.
Okay.
So yeah, location to be in Batu Pahat, because some of our friends and family and church member, brother and sister, may not able to travel there. So I'm looking another location here in Malaysia, okay. Probably planning to be YMCA. So in the midst of the, in case, you know, if some of those friends here can't travel there, so we just have another session here.
Okay. All right. Okay, congratulations again, Stanley. Good to hear that. Good for you. Happy for you. I also want to welcome Silas. Silas, good to see you again. Silas, all the way from the States. Silas, are you here?
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, Silas. Good morning. Good to see you.
It's been a long time.
Been a long time.
Yeah. It's been a really hard semester. Harder than I thought it would be. So the weekends is just me writing papers. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the second semester, brother.
Yeah. We're currently on break right now, so that's why I'm...
Oh, you finished your final exam today, Silas?
No, so finals is next week.
Oh, 2 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
You're having Thanksgiving break, right? Right now?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Okay.
So...
Well, it's good to see you, Silas.
It's good to see you all.
Yeah. What time is it there now? It should be...
It's 9 p.m.
Okay. Okay. So... It's good to have you with us, Silas. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, I would just like to again do a kind of a short sharing, just something in my heart to with you all before I hand it over to Chin. So as I was praying before that, you know, we are entering the last month of this year, and you know, I prayed that there will be some rumination, you know, some musings on our part, on our end. As we close this year, as to what God has been saying. So something interesting actually happened a few months ago when I was talking to Eunice. She and I were talking about a mutual friend who was talking to her about her church, you know. So a lot of us you know, during this time of pandemic have found it very interesting in so far as our church life is concerned. And I think this is perhaps common in many, many other churches as well. But this friend of ours, this mutual friend of ours, was telling us, you know, that she's also doing online with her church. And she was saying that one of the sad things was that even as they were meeting online, as they were doing their online sessions, that she didn't feel a sense that she missed the body, you know. She said that this feeling was the same even for the others, you know, not just her, but she just felt that so many in the church, you know, and as they were doing the online session, didn't feel this sense, didn't feel this ache, didn't feel this wanting to meet, this wanting to fellowship, you know. They were just there for, you know, whatever they were doing, the the ministry, if you will, or the word, if you will, and you know, they took part in that. They went through the motions, as they say, but they felt no longing. They felt no desire, you know, that this wasn't good. You know, there was nothing there. And I was just ruminating and thinking about that, that that's probably how so many are today in church, you know. If anything, I think this pandemic has been, I think, you know, Eugene and probably Chin has said this before, that this pandemic has revealed where our hearts are, if anything, as a church. It's revealed and forced us to take stock about where we stand, you know. And I'm not in any way saying that, oh, it's the pandemic's fault that we are what we are. No, I think that the pandemic, if anything, has shown us, a lot of us anyway, the true state of our hearts in regards to where the church is, in regards to where we are with our families and with our church members, our brothers and our sisters, even in the body, you know. It's forced us to take stock. It's forced us to realize where our priorities are, you know, what church is to us, and what, where our lives stand, you know, before God and before one another. So my challenge to you all is, as we end this new year, as we end this year and we welcome the new one, try to look beyond just the pandemic. Try to look beyond just what's happening around us. We should be concerned. We should be praying, you know, for people who are affected, definitely, like Stanley's fiance and her family, of course. I'm not saying we don't, but we need to see the bigger picture, everyone. We need to kind of like examine our own hearts, you know, and where we stand, and whether or not we are just going with the status quo. Are we just going through each and every Sunday, you know, ticking the boxes, as they say, and going through the motions? Because what our mutual friend was saying to us in regards to her church, what if it's the same for some of us here? Mm. Let me confront that to all of you. What if we are actually like that? You know, what if we're just showing our faces every Sunday and just wanting to fulfill that obligation, wanting to show you that, hey, here we are, you know, we're still committed. But that's not enough, saints. I think if anything, this pandemic, you know, has quickened that very feeling and that realization in many of us, you know. And if we were really honest, some of us here, if we were really upfront about how we are in regards to this church, in regards to where we are, can we honestly say we miss one another? Can we honestly say we miss the church, that we long for that fellowship once again? Or are we like that sister who realized that, hey man, what's the difference, you know? What's the difference of just being in my chair, lying on my bed, you know, and just opening up my laptop, you know? There's not much difference. And I think many churches, especially big ones, especially mega churches, are starting to realize that even now, you know, that their attendance is now dropping because, you know, they don't really care. You know, it doesn't really bother them. It doesn't really weigh on their hearts as much as it should, you know. And to me, I think that's a good thing, to be fair. I think it's a good thing that people are starting to wake up to this idea, to this fact. And it makes us to question, and it forces us to question, what is the church? You know, what is God saying? What is Christ wanting in all of us? And it's a deeply personal question, saints. I'm not saying this, you know, I'm not broad stroking this and saying all of us are in the same place. You know, I think we all have our convictions. We all have what the Lord is saying to us individually, because it also has to do with our lives. It has to do with where we stand personally, you know. It also has to do with how we relate to our families, how we relate to our sons and our daughters, our wives and our husbands, you know, how we relate to our personal life, what we do every day, what we do at work, you know, it matters. It matters whether we are students in a college. It matters whether we work in a university or in a bank or in a firm or whatever. You know, it has to do with everything, saints. So my prayer, and I'm not saying that this is a one-time thing. You know, I think that more significantly, as we close this year, as we enter into the last month, I want all of us to take this on, you know, to challenge ourselves, to pray. The leadership has been doing that too. Amongst ourselves, you know, as we welcome the new year, we are asking the Lord to show us things. We're asking the Lord to open up doors that need to be open, and to see what is it that the Lord has for us. So I want you all to do the same as well, even as we close this year, that, you know, seek the Lord's face, see where you are. What's your conviction? You know, where do we stand as a church? Where do you stand in relation to this church as well? You know, so that's just something I want to share with you all. And I think Chin and maybe Eugene will also add on to this if they see fit. So that, go ahead, take over.
Thanks, Adro. Good morning, Saints. Yeah, and first of all, on behalf of Pure Stream, congratulations to Stanley. I was really looking forward to see Luis today. But by the way, Stanley's fiance is Luis. I was really looking forward to see Luis Stanley. Went off, is it? Can you hear me, folks?
Yeah. Can you hear that?
You're back again.
You went off for a while.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us? Hello?
Yeah, because he just shut down. Yeah, can you all hear me?
No, yes.
Yes.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
It just disappeared from the room, actually. The whole Zoom just disappeared and then came back again. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see all your faces again. Yeah, okay. Michael, let me see all the faces again. Yeah. I don't have to look at myself. That's a big face to look at. Yeah. Can everyone hear me? Just respond to me, please. Everyone okay? All right, then. So I was just saying that I miss having to see Stanley's fiance. So once again, on behalf of Pure Stream here in Singapore, I suppose, Stanley, we got to know your face already. So big congratulations to him. And so I just met up with him just a couple of days ago for coffee and caught up with him. And so it's nice to be single. He's single, so he reached out to a man like me. So he invited me for coffee and we had a good chit chat and talk about the work, about the future, about his marriage and settling down and everything. And that was good, actually. Silas, can I see your face, Silas? Where is it? I can't see Silas' face. Hi, Silas. Silas, good to see you, Silas. Good morning to you. Yeah. Can you hear me, Silas?
Yes.
You can, huh? Okay. All right. Yeah. But good to see you, Silas, by the way. Your brother was online last Sunday, and your mom too. I think Cheryl, you're online too, isn't it, Cheryl?
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Cheryl. Yeah. Anyway, so good morning to. Okay. So, anyway, so every one of you, I think it's just as what Adriel just shared. As we approach. Claire, I can only see your forehead, Claire. I can't see your face at all. Okay. I can't see your face.
Okay.
There you are. Yeah, I can only see your forehead. So Adriel was saying that, we are actually close to the last month of the year, and so there are things in our hearts that. We're looking forward to share with you as a ministry. In fact, I was online with Pastor Ruan of Sri Lanka, having to hear what's happening over there and the situation of the church, and then of course the pandemic in Sri Lanka. They're having just as bad as we are. The infections are high, they're up, and so churches are not allowed to meet. And so I was having a heart-to-heart talk with him. He has been struggling this past whole year, and so he's not well physically, as he hopefully that the treatment that he's in now will soon be ending. And he's slightly better physically, and Prabhashini is doing better, the wife. And so put a lot of things in perspective. He's forced to see things as they should. If there's anything that this pandemic has done, is that it has become not just a crisis as far as health is concerned, but it has turned to be even a crisis as far as relationships is concerned. So it has been tested. Relationships are tested like never before. And families are put together and in proximity that they have not had before for the longest time. The lockdown has caused many marriages, many husbands and wives and sons and daughters to be together forcibly and in proximity that has bring out a lot of problems. And that's why we're seeing reports that there is so much of an increase of domestic violence because people just don't know how to live together. It's easy to get away from, you know, from 9 to 6 or 9 to 7, whatever. It's easy for kids to go to school. It's easy for women to take their cars, to run around from, you know, one place to another, as long as, you know, we're not together for a long period of time. But when we're put together in a long period of time, relationships are tested. And so the content, I want to use the word here, the content of our lives begins to come out and truly who we are. So all of whatever that is so lacking within us, the patience, the endurance, the tenderness, the sweetness, the understanding, all of those areas are being tested and we find ourselves wanting. And so, and then of course, the other part is that it's leading to so many people with emotional problems, mental breakdowns. These are all reported. And then, of course, those that goes unreported in so many countries, I don't even know. So as I was just sharing with you that Nepal is having just Shamu. And then who was online with us in one of those Sunday mornings was telling that, you know, depression is all-time high now in Nepal. He has to visit some of his own church members that are in depression. They're not old. They're all young, in their 20s and their 30s, and they can't handle it. So he's putting relationships to a place of just visibility. It's just where it is. And I suppose that if there is anything, even for the church, as Adriel was just sharing, that it's also putting relationships into perspective. And so this is really unprecedented. And it took a crisis to finally measure us where we are in terms of relationships, where we are in terms of the content that is required for relationships, because relationships without content is a relationship that will suffer, all right? Any relationships that is lacking in content will suffer, will be crippled, will be stifled, will be uneven, will be incomplete, will be unwhole. Any relationships, and that's why our relationships is a ongoing process. So I think this is very important, and all of God's work with our lives is based on the measure of relationships. So you notice that this is one of God's ways with men, all through the scripture. And God can never take an Abraham any further than it is based on the kind of relationship that he has with him. So Mount Moriah took a 10-year journey to arrive. It's not because God invented Mount Moriah and that one poignant moment for Abraham at an instant of a moment. It was an instant. It was already in the mind of the Lord. But it took 10 years for God to bring And Abraham, all through his life, has been building altars. But it was always an altar that has no sacrifice on it, not until Mount Moriah. And that altar and that Mount Moriah experience and that transcending experience has to do with the content of his relationship with Abraham increasingly growing all through the years. So you notice that all of God's purposes with our lives is tied up with the content of our relationship, or the content that is seen in our relationships. May I even say something? If a relationship has no content, equals to no relationship. And that explains today, I suppose, that we say we have a relationship with the Lord, we have a relationship with people, we have a relationship with one another. But if the content of that relationship is not forthcoming, if that relationship is not fruit-bearing, that God has. So this brings into perspective in our times, and I think this issue is going to have implications in the days to come. And as I said before, months ago at the start of the pandemic, that at some point when this ends, whenever it ends, and now that the vaccine is on the horizon, I suppose that, you know, we're just perhaps some months soon where, you know, things will end. But when it does end, my question will be, have we really recognized the content of our relationships? Okay, the world has gone through what it goes through, or the world reports on the violence and the depressions and everything. But for the church, I think it's important that we begin to review the content, if there's truly a relationship. And that's exactly what Adrian just said a while ago. Why is it that in less than a couple of months, people are feeling that, you know, I don't miss people. I don't miss people in the church. Well, the reason why someone like this can talk and can speak like that is because it tells that all the years that they were in church life, there was no content. I don't miss people when this person said that. It's because it's starting to reveal where truly their relationship. It is contentless. It is only when it is contentless that's exactly how you should say it. That's the only way to say it. But if there is content in that relationship, then there will be fruits. There will be fruits in that relationship, lockdown or no lockdown. And the early church in the Acts of the Apostles was in permanent lockdown. The Roman Empire makes the church in the permanent state of lockdown. How did they survive? How did we have the Acts of the Apostles? How did we have the letters of the Apostle Paul and Peter and John? They went through lockdown every day. 24/7, 365 days, it was a church in trial, in suffering, in persecution, being pursued like an animal by Roman authorities all virtually across decades. And today, you know, we have a pandemic, and then for months we're in a situation like that. So how do we thrive? How do we supersede? How do we rise above? What does it show us today? So here we are, and we immediately start to focus on to, you know, areas that we could be missing. And I think if there's anything that is so missing, is truly the state of our relationship. And so it's very important, you know, I should be thinking, I was just kind of like, you know, ruminating. The reason why I brought this to Stephen and Peggy a while ago, why I wanted to go online on Wednesday, is because, well, the fact of the matter is, I cannot forget the last thing that I said to Stephen and Peggy just before they left back to Singapore at the bus station. Because the last time when I saw both of them and the two girls, they were with us for a weekend. And one of the last thing that I said to Stephen, I said, Stephen, how I wish to be there more often in Singapore. I'm not to be there to spend time with all of you, to spend time with the Lisi's and the Billions and Joanne and Ariel and Ivan, you know, and Simon Kant, you know, because their faces comes to me, and it's not just faces, and I want to be in their presence. I want to be with Stephen. I want to be with Peggy. And it's not something that's just an emotion, but it is a connection. It tells that the relationship has to be weighed by actions. You see, that's the problem today. Do you know that salvation, the whole premise of redemption, is God's action in our lives? Just imagine that Jesus loves us, God loves us, but you know what? It was all a feeling and emotions, and there were no actions. And if there's no action, then Jesus would never have come, that Jesus would have never been conceived in the womb of Mary, that Jesus would have never come into full-grown child. Jesus had never would have been born there in Bethlehem. Jesus would have never grew up in Nazareth. Jesus would have never grew up and walked the streets of Galilee. Just imagine that's no act. It's just a relationship as far as emotion is concerned. It's all talk. It's all good words. It's all emotions, you know. But there's no act. What makes redemption so powerful in the triune God here is because God acted. So much of our relationship can be so actless, so actionless. It's no action. Lots of emotions, a lot of talks, but it's no action. So it's like what I said recently, we're so full of the emotions, but we don't go. All right, go not as in the physical, only just the physical, but it's actually physical too. We're so willing, but we don't go. There's no action to our faith. There's no action to our walk. So I meant that when I said it to Stephen. You know, as I'm looking at you, Stephen, I'm still looking. And this is I'm not jumping ahead of what I want to share in the month, in the weeks ahead. But so I'm giving you a little bit of a preview. And you just have to start looking for a bed for me in Singapore so that I can come and spend more time there. And to with you, with the saints, with the people. I share it with Ruwan. And by the way, since we're talking about Ruwan and Sri Lanka, Silas, we never forgot that you're supposed to go to Sri Lanka one day and spend some time there.
I don't mind.
And I was talking to him. Yeah, and you will be. And so Adrian is going to take you there one of these days. And serve there for a while and be with the people. And I was sharing with him because one of the last things that that I said to Rowan, or the last thing that we did together in Sri Lanka, was just prior to the bombing. April, you know, of 2018. And just as they have not recovered from the bombing, and then came the pandemic. So the nation is in really dire situation. And I was supposed to 19 of April, 2019 of April in Sri Lanka. And then came the pandemic at the end of the year. And so, and I was supposed to be in the eastern part of Sri Lanka for the conference with 70 pastors. And I was mentioning to him, I said, that they're still in my heart and I still want to return, you know, I still want to go to the eastern part of Sri Lanka. So in the days coming, we want to share the sense of where I think the Lord is leading us as a people, as a church. And but I'm just wanting to strike a note here for all of us here. It's very important, is to view truly where is the content of our relationship. All right. Truly to view where is the content of our relationship. Where is the actions that follows, the actions that should be seen if that relationship is indeed where it's supposed to be. So, you know, I was struck by a note recently in knowing. I've known this, but I've not known that this is so significant, that 70% of the Psalms is based on lament. You know the word lament. Lament is the equivalent word in the New Testament for the word moaning. To lament means to moan, to carry a weight, to carry a sense of burden, to carry a sense of grief. And 70% of all of the 150 Psalms that we have, of which more than half of that is from David. So surprisingly, 70% of the Davidic Psalms is actually lament in nature. All right? And so I want to kind of... And we've lost that today. And no one has a more intimate relationship in the Old Testament like David did. And it's almost as if that this is so contradictory, isn't it? Because if you have an intimate relationship, it's supposed to be a joy free from moaning, free from lament. No. All right? It's the opposite. If truly there is a relationship, as there is, one of the content of that relationship is lament. So Psalms carry so much of the Davidic lament. And that's why when David wrote those Psalms, he wrote it at a time when they were loss, they were disappointment, they were death, they were sorrows, they were misunderstanding, they were frustration, they were loneliness. All of those negative emotions that passes through. And David wrote it in those auspicious occasions. And it's given to us by the Lord so that we can read them. So you notice that David never avoided it, never denied it, never soft paddle any of it. He faced everything and he prayed everything. And that's why we go to the Psalms, because David was made to face everything and to pray everything. All right? We choose to where our prayer is supposed to be most glorified. But some of David's deepest prayer will pray in those times of lament. So, and we're not good. All right, as humans, as individuals, as a growing Christian, it took a long time habit to acquire the traits and the practice of learning the quality of our relationships. So I'm kind of like reading here. This particular author was saying that in the culture that we live in today, in the mass media, in journalism, we report disasters, we report crimes and wars, we report famines and flood, we report, you know, political upheaval and scandals in societies, and we do all of these things, all right? But you notice that in the end, what they do is that the commentators begin to gossip, reporters, they interview, editors, they pontificate, Pharisees, they moralize, they do all kinds of psychological analysis, and so on and so forth. And this is what the author said, but never do you find there is any line of lament. Whether you read it, whether you hear it, it will never come to us with any line, with any sense, with any honesty of having to lament, truly lament over those situations. And why is that so? So the author said something here, which I want to read with you now, and I want you to listen to this. That is, no lament in the world today is because truth is not taken seriously. Love is not taken seriously. Human life does not matter as life, as it is God-given, as it is Christ-redeemed, and it is spirit-blessed life. Life is everything is trivialize. And that's why we have no ability to lament. The world has no ability to lament because there's no ability for truth. There's no ability for love. But that's the word. But for the church, we are to be the epitome. We are to be what defines us as a people of God, that we have now moved into the dynamics. We've moved into the habit of learning what it means to lament in our relationship with the Lord. He says that a failure to lament is a failure to connect. I repeat here, a failure to lament is a failure to connect. You know how many relationships today don't connect? We eat, we drink, we stay together, but we don't connect. Why? Why is it that we do not connect? Because there's something wrong with our lamenting. A failure to lament is a failure to connect. So the author says, if we refuse to learn Davidic lamentation, that's why Psalm was given to the church, so that we will learn how to read it, and read it not just for prayer, but we will read it in the participation of our relationship with God, to the point that we begin to engage God, not as we choose, but as God has chosen for us. And God has chosen for us in the sum of everything, because of our humanity, because of our failed humanity, because of the sin that is in our humanity, God have come to teach us in the process of redemption what it means to once again know who we are in the light of who He is. And we make to see our humanity, we make to see in the process of our disappointment, our pain, our sorrows, our sicknesses, our loneliness, our disappointment, our inadequacy, our weaknesses, our transgression, our iniquity, all of that, we're supposed to be engaged with them and to be engaged with God in all of this is to be engaged in the reality of lamenting. And it is in that lamenting, in that relationship with the Lord, that we begin to come into a connection with Him, into an intimacy with Him. So if you refuse to learn Davidic lamentations, our lives becomes fragments. It fragments into episodes and anecdotes, a succession of jerky starts and gossipy coup d'etats. I read again. If we don't learn Davidic lamentation, then our life fragments into episodes, anecdotes, and a succession of jerky starts and gossipy coup d'etat. You know what coup d'etat is, isn't it? Gossipy coup d'etat. That means we're talking about the same old thing again and again and again and again. Everything is just repetitive. It's coup d'etat. You reach the end, you have to turn again. You reach there, you have to turn again. So it becomes a gossipy coup d'etat. So he says, but we're in a story. The life of David is a life of a story. The life of Abraham is a life of a story. The life of Isaac is a life of a story. The life of Joseph is a life of a story. The life of Daniel is a life of a story. The life of Jeremiah is a life of a story. The life of Jesus Christ is a life of a story. The life of the Apostle Paul is a life of a story. But we are in a story in which everything eventually comes together. It's not supposed to be fragments. It's not supposed to be just fragments of episodes and anecdotes. Story has a flow. Story has succession. Story has continuation. Story has coherency. Story has progression. Story has chapters. Not just episodes and anecdotes and gossipy coup d'etat. That's why we need to read the Lamentations of the Psalm. We're supposed to be in a story in which everything eventually comes together. A narrative in which all the puzzling parts finally fit. And years later, we exclaim, oh, so that's what it meant. Years later, we're able to say, oh, so that's what it meant. Lord, so that was what it was all about. Oh, God, so that was what it was for. Oh, Lord, that was what it was meant to be for me. Lord, that's what it was supposed to be. Story. That's how story leads to. But being in a story means that we must not attempt to get ahead of the story. You see how important it is? If you're in a story, we're not supposed to get ahead of the story, which means, he says, you can't skip the hard part. You can't skip the hard parts. You can't erase the painful part. You can't detour the disappointments. The content of our relationship is the ability for us to acknowledge and talk about those hard parts. We're able to articulate and bring out to words those painful parts. That's what makes and put the content of our relationship where it's supposed to be. You know, we live in a culture in our country today that we're very poor as Chinese. We don't know how to put into words and make description those hard parts of our lives. Those parts that are painful. We don't talk about it with our fathers and our mothers. We don't talk to it with our pastors. We don't talk to it with friends. We don't talk to, let me say this, we don't even talk to our husbands and our wives about that. So it's a relationship, but it's a relationship because we're husbands and wife. It's by name, but it's a relationship with no content. It's a relationship as father and children, but there's no content. It's a relationship between pastors and members of the church, but there's no content. It's a relationship between parents and children, but there's no content. So it's, again, the failure. We have not participated in the life of lamenting. It is a major part of the whole redemptive configuration of God. And how is it that today it takes a crisis of the pandemic to reveal where relationships are? To reveal finally, just for 3 to 4 months in the church, I don't miss going to church. I don't miss the people. Is that surprising? So if we are in that story, we're not supposed to jump ahead of the story. We're not supposed to get ahead of the story. We cannot skip the hard parts because why? We have to deal with the hard parts. We cannot erase the painful parts. We talk about it. Some of you here on screen know the story of my family, our lives. And till this very day, 2020, in fact, if there's anything that this pandemic has got all of us together as a family, we're starting to retrack our painful moments. We have to walk that. I sat down with Eugene one night and we walked through that together again. We talk about it. We have to talk about that. That's years ago, what we've been through as a fellowship. He, in his journey with the wife Eunice, we talk about it. It's a part in which it comes up again and again, of which it makes us not wanting to skip the hard part, not wanting to erase the painful parts, not detouring the disappointment. You see how we do this? We detour. Lament, making the most of our loss without getting bogged down in it. We are to lament, but at the same time, we are supposed making the most of our loss without getting bogged down. That's also a character. That is also strength. That is also part of the content of our relationship, is to even be able to talk about this, but yet not be bogged down with it. Is a primary way of staying in the story. So we're supposed to stay in the story. If we are to stay in the relationship, we're supposed to stay in the story. So much of what I've been sharing with Stanley in my time together and is, you know, I'm encouraging him, let's stay together in the story. So I'm looking forward to the joy of now knowing my brother, and now that he's taking the next step to a marriage. And Luis, by the way, is from Badupahar. And she's making, at some point, you know, a transition from Badupahar to be where Stanley is. So I opened my, as much as I opened my life, I opened the church to Stanley. And Stanley has commitments in which he has to come to certain decisions, and he comes to some difficult decisions in which he has to resign from some of these responsibilities and organizations. So I invited Stanley. I said, if Pure Stream is to be your church and your family, I said, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the work, let me invite you and Luis to be part of us. to come and join us on the journey. It's a story. So I'm involved with Stanley's story now. I said, Stanley, I slept with you, I had with you in Yanmar, I walked the streets with you there. I want a story with you. I don't just want episodes and anecdotes. I want a journey with you. And together one day, God willing, if this is what you want, I said, it will be a joy for all of us to participate together with you and with Luis. And the areas of which he and Luis is experiencing in certain areas, well, I said, come and help us. Come and give us hands. We need hands. We need contributions. We need these giftings to come amongst us. It's a story. That's why I'm sitting down with him over a cup of coffee, not because we just love to drink coffee. It's so that this is it. This is sharing. This is having to find and to fill the contents of our relationships. So that we can stay in the story. And that's why when we miss the part of that lamenting, many of us, our stories become very vague. Our story become very murky. Our stories are just patches. Our story are incomplete. Our stories are episodes that comes and go. It has no significance. Our story has no bearing to where we are. It's almost as if when you hear those stories and see the present life, there's no connection. Okay, you say what you say about what you went through that story, but why is it that what you are today has no bearing with that story? See, there's disconnect there. There's something is wrong. Something has gone wrong. There's a disconnect with so many today. And this perhaps is what this pandemic is now doing to the church, not just to the world, but to the church, more so with the church. What would God's concentration be if it is not with the church? It's not just about the economy. It's not just about Trump losing or a new president. It's not just about the nations of the world. It's about the church. It's anything that the Lord is after. Is the content of where relationships really are at. God, I like what he says finally. That's exactly what this Bible is all about, saying God is telling this story. God is the foremost storyteller of the universe. He is the master storyteller of the world. Jesus is the perfect storyteller. That's why he spoke in story. He spoke in parables. He spoke in illustration. He spoke in example. He was telling a story. How can we not pay attention to relationships where it is the premium reality of truly what our story is? God is telling this story. Remember, it is a large and capacious story. It does not look kindly on our editorial deletion. I repeat here, he says, God doesn't look kindly upon our editorial deletion. Do you know we delete? If there's anything today that is making relationships break down everywhere, we delete them. We make as though it's not there anymore. It didn't happen. I didn't say it. I didn't mean it. We delete. We conveniently, sometimes accidentally, and sometimes even willfully, we delete them. I can't. I'm sitting with my wife here. I'm married for almost come to 36, 37 years. I wish I can delete a lot of things that when we talk together as husbands and wives. I can't delete them. I'm made to remember them because it's part of the story. I can't delete what happened between when we went through what we went through as a church, as a family. We can't delete that. I can't delete the things that I know of Stephen and Peggy, the things that we walked through together as friends for so long. Can't delete that. I can't delete this with you, Cheryl, with what we went through as a family, with your family. Can't delete that. Because we're not supposed to. And God doesn't look kindly. You notice that, read your Bible, let me challenge you. Because if you were David, what's the part that you want to delete? If you were King David, what's the part that you want to delete? Huh? There are a lot of things, isn't it? I suppose what is the highlight of the thing that we all remember about King David? It's, you know, his affair, you know, his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and his murderous act with the husband of Bathsheba, isn't it? You couldn't delete that. And so sometimes we do, and he doesn't take kindly. He doesn't look kindly when we delete them. Because when we do, it says, let me say this here to you. When we do, we find ourselves in a place of disconnect. We lose connection. And anytime that we lose connection, we start to go down the path of unreality. The moment we lose connection, we go down the path of unreality. And so much of our relationship today can actually be all on the surface, on the appearance. That's where you finally have your eyes upon truly what is sincere. Sincerity is when appearance and reality is exactly the same. That's why you can feel it, you can sense it, you can touch it. That's why it's so powerful. That's why even Jesus is touched with it. Who touched me? Disciples say, so many thronging crowds around you, Master, Rabbi, and you saying, who touched you, teacher? No, he said, I felt power leaving me, sincerity. Of all of the people pressing near Jesus, it took one sincere heart to finally unleash the power of the divine and the power of the Son of God to heal that woman. When appearance and reality is exactly the same. So the moment we start to delete, the moment we don't want the story and move and participate in a life of lament. Saints, there's something in which I'm learning. I want to learn the art of lamenting. We're not supposed to put on a gloomy face every other day. Don't rock me. All right? As much as we talk about these things in the family, well, we take this with a deep breath, with an air of anticipation, with hope, with joy, with peace, with righteousness. But at the same time, this is where I think after this pandemic, it's going to bring forth the fruits in relationships. If this is what it's saying, what we're seeing today, can you imagine if this tests our relationship with the kind of content that we don't have? Can you imagine when the pandemic is all over, when we're all back to normal, we go back to the churches in which we meet by the hundreds and the thousands? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we have not learned this, we're going back to buildings and chairs in order to practice and go on practicing so much of our unreality? And we continue to adhere to all of the appearances that give to us some kind of a lie and a delusion of our own spirituality and our spiritual state. So if there's anything today that is heavy upon my heart, as I share, not just with you, saints, as we share as a family, as I share with pastors. So I want to be honest. You know, when I look at Stephen and Peggy, Do I just want to see him from time to time or an apps message and over an online message? No. And I hope to see him more often. If that means me having to go down, you know, to live for 10 days, for 2 weeks. You have a place for 10 days and 2 weeks, Stephen? I can't stay in your house for 10 days and 2 weeks. It'll be too much for your girls. They'll run away from me. To get to know, to be connected to stories, Lisi's stories, Billion's story, Joanne's story, Ivan's story, and all of your stories. Why? And this, and listen, this is the God of redemption. This is the God of the Psalms. This is what makes the man a man of the God's own heart. It's not some craggy mountains you hike up there, some man-made fantasy of spiritual intimacy and life that you want. It's here. It's here. It's the Davidic lamentations that make David into a man of the God's own heart, that he is indeed the one man chosen of which was given a throne that was to become the foreshadow of the everlasting kingdom of the Father. So Lord, give us the grace to know this. We thank you again. And we ask that in the remaining month, weeks, perhaps maybe just weeks or days, whenever this is going to be over, I pray that this is a chance that all of us have. Thank you that all of us are seated in our rooms, on our chairs, in our comfortable rooms and ACs and fans. We're comfortable to hear this. But Lord, there's so many that are in distress. They are in places of sorrows and sufferings, Lord, of such neglect. And yet, Lord, we're made to see this because you are the God of truth. And the world will not want truth, but we are the sons and daughters of the truth, the sons and daughters of the Lord. So, Lord, cause our hearts to come to you. Thank you again. My God, thank you for giving the Psalms to us. Thank you for sharing David's life with us. And you make him to be the prominent psalmist of all of the Psalms and all of his lamentations. That is such a major buck of what makes him, as we know him to be, Lord, has been missing. We don't want it because as modern man, we added it, we shortcut it, we shortchange it, we live over it. We prefer the episodes, we prefer the come and go, we prefer the coup de sexe. And yet, Lord, never coming into a true participation of the story that you want for our lives. Help us, Lord, in these days. Bring maturity to our hearts in these trying times. We thank you again. There's no escape. You confront us because, God, this is your story. Your story is bigger than all of our stories. And if our lives and our story don't fit into your story, there's something wrong with our story. Something's wrong with our lives. And that's why we will never find coherence. We'll never find, Lord, adequacy. We'll never find wholeness. We'll never find completeness. We'll never find fulfillment. We will never see one day at the end of the road and say, oh, there you are, Lord. Now I know this is what it all meant. This is what it was all for. We'll never be able to come to that great place with you. So, Lord, put content now. Help us check our hearts in wherever the relationships that we are in, whether with you, most of all, but with our husbands, our wives, our sons, yes, and our daughters, and most of all, too, Lord, with one another. Where are we? What's our relationship with one another? My God, help us. Thank you again. Give you praise. Lord, thank you for each one. Pray for Louise right now. You keep her safe. In Badu Pahat, Lord, with the sister. And frontliners are never easy. And for Eunice too, Lord, keep these frontliners as doctors and those who are involved in having to work like this. Keep them safe, Lord, under your hand, under your blood. Give your thanks. Continue to give Stanley the wisdom, Lord, to prepare, to plan, even as he prepares, Lord, a new chapter service life in the future. Thank you, Legend. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Let us grow. Let us put content. Tell us, show us, convict us. Let us put content into our relationships so that finally it will be a story that has such a content. It has such a fulfillment, such a progression, such a making up, such fulfilling. Lord, a content that is so meaningful. Meaningful to you and so meaningful to all of us and those even around us. For this we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Adriel?